Grace and peace be yours in abundance. This is Season 7 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an evangelical Methodist point of view. Now, the Word of God is central to all we believe, so let's get into God's Word right now. Welcome to a special edition of Guerrilla Christianity. This is GC Talk, and I'm joined once again by Pastor Zach Taylor of New Hope United Methodist Church in Pensgrove. Hi, Zach.
Hi, Bray. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Great.
How are you keeping yourself busy these days? I know we as pastors only work, an hour a week on Sundays. So how are you keeping yourself busy during this quarantine?
A lot of extra reading. I'm spending my time to nourish myself with books that I haven't read for a while, or, new books that I find are interesting. So I've been trying to get a book a week done. I haven't done so recently because I've been extra busy, but trying to get a book a week done to expand my knowledge base and, learn new ideas. So that's been really fun and enjoyable.
That's good. Yeah. I've been doing some writing. I've written some letters to the congregation, that sort of thing, just trying to keep in touch. I find I'm calling a lot of people a lot more. Yesterday, I was out delivering Table Talk magazines to our Bible study. That's always fun. I always feel like I'm doing something clandestine by sticking something in somebody's mailbox, and
yeah,
whatever. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about, or what we're going to talk about today, is stewardship, everybody's favorite topic.
Ooh, right? Yeah.
So stewardship, as soon as you say the word stewardship, I feel like people grab for their wallet, and they're like, no, I think we've been conditioned over time to think of stewardship as being just about money. But in fact, it's about managing the resources that God has given us in order to further the church, in order to support the local church, and do the work of the body of Christ. And I think whenever I talk about stewardship, I usually talk about it in terms of this one vow that we make. It's on page 38 of our United Methodist hymnal. And it says, when we join the local church, as members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service, and your witness? In 2008, by General Conference, we added the words, and your witness, because witness is important as well. Mm-hmm. So all five of those aspects of our participation in the ministries of the local church are integral to stewardship. Stewardship, I think, involves all five of those things: the prayers, the presence, the gifts, the service, and the witness. So what I wanted to know from you, I guess, is how do you approach usually your stewardship? Do you have like regular stewardship campaigns at the church? Because I know some churches do it in October or in the fall anyway. Or how do you approach the topic of stewardship in your church?
So normally what we'll do is at the beginning of the year, like January or February, we'll have a stewardship campaign where we give out our donation cards, and I'll preach a sermon on the importance of stewardship and making sure that everyone gives not only their tithes, but their gifts and whatever else they can contribute to the church. So it's a big event that we hold every winter. And this past year, it kind of got swept under the rug with all the hullabaloo that's been going on. But we're going to try to, once things settle down, pick that up in the fall and have our annual stewardship campaign. And it's interesting because, like you said, Brett, people are scared about money and donating. And, we ask that you pledge whatever you can give, but we have the pillars of the church who give a lot of money, and then you have those that don't have so much and they'll give a little bit. But it's interesting to see how those who pledge are always the faithful givers, and then those who don't pledge will not give regularly, or they'll just, when we have our stewardship campaign, they'll just give this grandiose amount of money that they haven't given before. So it's fascinating to see when we look at the pledges, who actually pledges and who doesn't. So we always make a big deal about that. But it, unfortunately for us, it centers around money. But I always emphasize prayer and witness and the others listed, certainly.
Right. I think when Aaron and I joined the local church, Pastor Larry Potts, who was the pastor there, and I think you know him, right?
Yes, I do.
Larry emphasized these five things when we were joining the local church, because he said these things are very important in the life of the church. And I always took that to heart. And it always struck me as odd whenever anybody who was a member of the church was not taking these things seriously or neglecting these things in any way. And you ask somebody, well, can you pray for this person? Can you pray with this person or such and thing? Well, I'm not very good at that. Well, that's not really what matters. It's not whether you're good at it. It's whether you made this promise. You promised to participate in the ministries of the church by your prayers. You know, we covet our prayers. We covet your presence. You know, people showing up to do things. Just being there. One of the main reasons that I selected the lay leader of Hudson United Methodist Church in Wayne Niebauer was that he was always there for anything that needed to be done. And I said, that's a person that I want as my lay leader, because he leads by example. He shows how what needs to be done, and he's just there. He's always there, and he participates. His presence is always something that's there. And I think supporting the church by our gifts is very important, because, you know, you can't do things without money. It's unfortunate to say.
Right.
But our gifts are a response, I believe, a response to what God has done for us and the things that he's given us. And when you look at it that way, it tends to make it a lot easier to be free with your money. Just this past Sunday, I preached a sermon on giving, and I demonstrated the open fist or open hand giving model. And I said, you know, you can have your money in your hand and your hand is open and you can give money out, but there's also an open hand for money to come back in. When you hold on to it tightly with your fist, nothing gets out, but nothing comes back in as well. And I think God is faithful when he entrusts us with certain resources. Let's talk a little bit about stewardship as a concept. Because stewardship as a concept, I think, is something that is important for every church member to understand. It has nothing to do with money per se, but it has everything to do with all the resources that God gives us to use in support of the local church. Dave Ramsey had a very good illustration of stewardship. He went to the Ramsey estate in Scotland, and he saw the castle there, and the steward of the castle came to him and said, oh, you're a Ramsey. And he gave him like this huge tour and everything else. But what he understood was that the steward is a person who manages all the affairs of the manor for the Lord of the manor. And all of the resources that belong to the Lord are at the disposal of the steward, but the steward does not own those resources. Those resources are given to the steward in order that the business of the manor is properly handled. And there's a fair amount of trust involved as well. And I think that stewardship in the church is the same way. We don't understand. I mean, in 1611, when they wrote or when they translated the King James Bible, everybody knew what a steward was, because it was a regular thing that people could see. And that relationship between the steward and the manor and the Lord of the manor, it was easy. And then for us to understand ourselves as being stewards of the Lord's resources, that makes it a lot easier for them to understand. for us in the 21st century, we have no idea what a steward is. And so we can't equate the two. So I'm always quick to point out that relationship between a steward and the Lord of the manor in our relationship as stewards of our Lord's resources. And I think maybe that's where a lot of people get hung up on this idea of what a steward is, because maybe they have that in their mind rather than a position of trust where you have all these resources at your disposal, but you're supposed to use them in a way that honors the Lord of the manor.
Right.
2008, they added the words, "and your witness." The General Conference added, "and your witness." How important do you think is witnessing as far as our responsibilities in the church?
Very important. I emphasize witness a lot. I think we need to witness to our story of how God impacted us and how God changed us. But I also, not only amongst ourselves, but I think the community at large needs to know what our story is as a church and what we as a church and a community contribute to the community of which we're a part, because it doesn't do us any good just to sit on our resources. We actually have to distribute them and use them. So it's very important that we witness to the community of which we're a part, so they know not only is God here, but God has stuff for us to know his love and his grace. So I think it's very important. Unfortunately, many churches, at least in my experience and in my context, many are reluctant to want to witness because of either demographic reasons or economic reasons or what have you, amongst other social reasons. But I believe it's very important if a church is willing to do it.
Yeah, and you, when you do your stewardship campaigns, do you incorporate witness as part of our responsibilities of the local to the local church?
Absolutely. Like I said to start, I don't always emphasize money. I always say, look, yes, this when we make a pledge, we're pledging a certain amount of money, but you're also pledging to give to witness to others and to pray and to do other things and give your gifts and your time. It's an all-encompassing thing. It's not just about money. So I definitely do emphasize that. Unfortunately, most of them only take it as money, but yes, I do emphasize gifts, graces, witness, and other things, prayer during that time period. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the cards before, the pledge cards. And
yes.
I'll be honest with you, since I've been a local pastor, I have never used pledge cards because I always think I don't find a whole lot of value in them, to be honest with you, because you're either going to give or you're not going to give. And the pledge card, the one thing I noticed even at Pittman when I was a member there was that a low percentage of people would actually fill out and return the cards to begin with. And the people who are filling them out and returning them are the people who are already being good stewards. So,
right.
So I thought, well, what's the point of having that? And I guess it emphasizes, you know, our connection to the church or what have you, but I've never really found much value in those pledge cards. And I know it's something that the church does as a whole. I've always taken it as stewardship is something that we talk about on a regular basis around the year, not just during one month of the year or for one particular campaign or what have you.
Right.
As a matter of fact, like I said, I started this series on stewardship in the weeks just directly after Easter. I was already planning that even before all this COVID-19 stuff hit. And I thought, well, should I suspend it or should I? No, I'm just going to go ahead and keep talking about it. You know how hard it is to preach a sermon on the emphasis of presence when the
Yes.
entire sanctuary is empty?
Oh, I can imagine.
Oh my goodness. It was, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, how do I preach this sermon to an empty sanctuary? But at the same time, you know, we have to emphasize these things. We have a lot of members who don't remember that they made this promise. We have a lot of members, because you get to this, when you become a member, you go through a membership class, or you're in a confirmation class if you're a youth. And a lot of times you come to this part of the baptismal covenant, and you go, yes, I will. And you totally forget all about it, you know? So right. I think it's important to just bring it up from time to time. I love preaching a sermon series, five sermons based on these five promises, and take each one at a time. And it's really nice when it fits into the lectionary. It doesn't always. For 4 weeks, it's actually fitting into the lectionary. And then I had to actually shoehorn service in just a little bit. I took one passage from Acts talking about when they established the deacons, like in Stephen in the book of Acts in chapter, I think, 5 and 6, when they were talking about, well, it is not fit for the apostles to wait tables, you know. And I said, it's not that the pastor is not to be involved in that work, but that the pastor's primary responsibility is, you know, word, order, and sacrament. And so we have the church to do all of those things, the laity to do all of the day-to-day work of the church that needs to be done.
Right.
And if they're not doing it, then it's not getting done. It's
insane. No. I think the other, going back on pledge cards, I think the other problem with pledge cards too is, because I know I was in situations where if you're economically strapped and financially strapped and you don't have a lot of money and every penny you have is to go to your livelihood, and then you go to church and, oh, we're doing this giving campaign and we want you to give. You kind of feel compelled to give, and if you don't give, then you're like shamed for not giving. And I've been in that situation before. So I think, you know, in some instances, people are reluctant around stewardship because they feel, well, if I can't give, then somehow I'm a failure, or I'll be shamed because I can't donate some money to the church. So right. I think the others, those five things you mentioned, are very important to emphasize that, no, it's not just about money. It's about your time, your presence, your witness, prayers, what have you.
Yep. In this letter that I wrote that I'm sending out to the church, I actually said, I want to remind you that giving is an act of worship when we have the ability to, and none of you are under compulsion to do so. We can give as we are able to demonstrate the love we have for God and for neighbor. So I'm always quick to emphasize that we're not under compulsion. If you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for, everybody loves this line, God loves a cheerful giver. It's actually printed, it's funny, that verse, God loves a cheerful giver, is actually printed on our giving envelopes. And I mentioned that one time, and I had like 10, 12 people come up to me after the service and go, I never noticed that it said that on the envelope, you know? And that's the thing. We take a lot of these things for granted.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it is important maybe to emphasize these things, and also to bring them up from time to time, to make it a point to be able to remember as members that this is our responsibility to the local church. There's a lot of responsibility to being a member.
Absolutely. But I'm glad you mentioned that Paul, because Paul talking about give as you're able, but those who really emphasize giving always go to the Malachi text where you have to give 10% of the storehouse. So it's like, oh, you have to give 10% of your income in order to satisfy God. So I find it interesting that, oh, you always focus on the Malachi, but it's maybe it's 10% of whatever you can give of what you have of yourself, it maybe is what Paul's saying. So, yeah, we always want to go to the Malachi, but we want to neglect Paul.
Right, right. And what does Malachi say? God says, you know, test me in this.
Yeah.
Test me in this, and I will return, I will open up the windows of heaven, you know?
Yep.
And so, yeah, it's one of those things. And I've always kind of cringed at that kind of language because it makes me feel like I'm being told to give so that I will be blessed, you know? And I think that that's a bad, you know, I think that we are naturally blessed when we are, when we give. And Paul quotes Jesus in the book of Acts and says that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And we don't see that anywhere in the gospel, but somehow it was handed to Paul through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I do think it is more blessed to give than to receive. If you go to a Christmas party where everybody's exchanging gifts and you see somebody has a gift that you've given, you're very interested in seeing how, what their reaction is. More so than I think than when you actually receive a gift, you want to know was how was your gift received. And I think we need to take that attitude too into the church to be able to say, I've given and I want to give, not because I'm being told to or being compelled to, but because it's from my heart. And right. I think that's so important.
Absolutely.
As far as the amount, I mean, tithing is a biblical standard. And I know that Aaron and I have been tithers since 2008. We talked about it and we said, well, we'll give it a go. And we've never had to pull back ever. And that's always the top line item in my budget is 10% to the church. And I don't do that again. I don't do it out of compulsion. I do that or obligation. I do it because I feel like that's what I can give. And above and beyond that, we also support other several ministries outside of that. But that's like the baseline. Sometimes we can pull back the other things if we have a financial need or something that comes up. But that 10% to the church is always, that's in stone. You know, and I just feel like it's something that we have to do. But again, it's not something that I'm being told that I have to do. You know, that's like the right. baseline that that we follow. And right. What makes it hard is when we try to have a series like this where we're talking about giving, when we're talking about, and it's not, again, it's not just giving of our finances, but it's giving of our time by our presence and by our prayers. And by our service, so it's giving of ourselves, you know, which I think is interesting because when we get to that portion of the service where we say, as forgiven and reconciled people, let us offer ourselves and our gifts to God. So we're not just offering finances, but we're offering ourselves, you know, and I think a lot of people forget that too. That we
or
do.
They don't know, or they don't know how to give themselves. Like, what do you mean by give myself? What do you want me to do? Is it doing something for the church, or what do you mean? So I think some of the language around giving of yourself or giving in general, some people are unclear as to what is expected of them.
It is. That's why we as pastors have to continue to instruct the people, have to emphasize these things. And again, make sure that it's done in a biblical fashion and demonstrate from the Bible how people give themselves, how they give of their resources and their finances. I've used the text from 1 Chronicles 29 when David talks about how he gave so much for the building of the temple. And that was something that he wasn't going to be able to see in his lifetime. But he did it. I don't think he was doing it in a braggadocio fashion. I think he was doing it in order to show the people, hey, this is what I'm willing to do for God. Now, what are you willing to do for God? And so I think as pastors, we also have to lead from the front. We have to lead by example. And so, I try to emphasize that in everything that we do, to participate in everything in the ministries of the church and to pray with people, for people, to be present, to give back to my local church, and also to witness my faith to as many people as I can, not just the people in the church, not just on Sunday mornings, but in every aspect of my life. And so by doing that, I think we as pastors can lead people and show people, be an example for people, and hopefully they won't say, well, that's just the pastor being a pastor, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is good, and I'm glad we had this discussion. I feel like we've have a little bit more of an understanding of stewardship, absolutely, what it means, and what's next for you? What do you got going on at New Hope now?
So I'm going to conclude May. I've been preaching on the Psalms with the lectionary, talking about you know, how we can go to God during this difficult time with COVID-19. And I'm looking into what I will be preaching on for June and July, and anticipating next steps for reopening. And we're trying to expand our food pantry to give more to our community, because we're seeing a greater need now that the COVID has come down into our area and we're getting more cases of the virus. So trying to find ways to give back more to the community.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for joining us today, and we'll be talking again in the future. I really enjoy these little talks that we have, and
me too.
They also tend to be very popular podcasts. A lot of people like them, so
yeah,
we'll continue to do these.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks, Zach, and all right. Blessings to you and your congregation and all everything that's going on in the future. And keep doing what you're doing, and especially with the COVID-19 and everything that's going on right now. I know it's difficult, but we just have to keep doing. We've been called for such a time as this. We don't know what God is doing, but he's doing something great, I believe, in my heart. So,
absolutely. All right, you too, buddy. Thanks. Take care now.
All right, take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. My prayer for you is that you have been blessed in its teaching as I have been blessed putting this message together. God has also blessed me in appointing me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn, and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown. And if you live in the area and you don't have a church to call your own, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m., and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. And right now, during the coronavirus outbreak, we are meeting exclusively online through Facebook Live, and we would be glad to have you join us wherever you are. Now, if you enjoy this podcast and would like to help support it, please share it with your friends and family, hit like, leave a comment, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will join us for Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this. Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.